Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back in 83, 37 years ago, when the Sixers blew... I'm not going to give you the answer. No, I'm not going to say... When the Sixers were in the finals against the Lakers. And on the line is a guy who's going to be featured during this look back. The great voice of the Sixers, Mark Zuboff. Hi, Mark.
And everyone, top of the morning to y'all.
Hey, Mike. Mark, I can't remember who won it so long ago. Who wins that series?
Well, I'll give you a hint. The team wore red, white, and blue, and they had five Hall of Famers, including their head coach. And true to the late, great Moses Malone, who actually predicted 4-4-4, it was a 4-5-4.
Right.
They went 12-1 in the playoffs, and they swept Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the LA Lakers.
Mark, I want to talk about a guy you just alluded to that never really gets enough reference, Billy Cunningham.
Yeah.
How great a coach was he?
He was really good. And I know that a lot of fans will discredit coaches like Phil Jackson, for example. Well, he had Kobe. Well, he had Michael. But to me, when you consider you're dealing with alpha males, you're dealing with Hall of Famers, you're dealing with guys who are great scorers, who are great basketball players, who are used to being stars, and to be able to blend them. And ironically, Billy was not much of a defensive player as a player and got them to play excellent defense. He was a terrific coach. And by the way, the only man in franchise history, we're going back to the Syracuse days, to both coach and play on an NBA champion, because he was the sixth man on the 67 team, and of course he was the coach on the 83 team.
And those are our only two champions in memory, right? I mean, I don't know how far back you got to go. He was part of both of them. Both of them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when you talk to the players and what we do on this series, which begins, by the way, tonight, game one is going to air at 7 o'clock, to a man, they are just so grateful for what he was able to do for them, whether it was collectively as a team or individually. Julius Erving, of course, who we were all rooting for to get a ring at that particular time. He had won two in the American Basketball Association, but none in the NBA. And there were three different opportunities to get him in 77, 80, and 82 before that. Just speaks glowingly about Billy. And to this day, they all seem to have a camaraderie. They speak. Andrew Toney, I know, is down in Atlanta with Earl Cureton. They get together all the time. Billy says he's in constant touch with Andrew Toney. Maurice Cheeks and Andrew are best friends on that team, and they remain in close touch. So a lot of that is due to Billy Cunningham. I think the esprit de corps that he fostered. And, of course, his abilities as an X and O coach. Remember, he was also the coach of the 77, 80, and – oh, no, I beg your pardon, the 80 and the 82 teams that went there. Gene Shue was the head coach in 77 that he lost to Portland.
All right, Mark, we just been talking about Michael Jordan. One of the greatest of all time was Julius Erving, right? Was he also a jerk?
Who, Doc?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, no. I remember, and it's really funny because my first year covering the team, I was the halftime guy. This is 82-83. And I remember John Nash, who was the assistant GM, came to me and said, okay, we are going to visit the homes of all the players and do features on them for halftime. And I remember going to Doc's home in Villanova, beautiful home. And I just remember sitting on the sofa with him and interviewing him. And he was so engaging. And he was just so in the moment with me. And I remember during the interview thinking, wow, Julius Erving, after this is all over, you, your wife, me, and my wife are going to double date.
Yes.
I mean that's how captivating he was to me. But Doc, oh, my goodness, no. If anything, he was the antithesis of that. He was always willing, always helpful, and always very willing to participate in anything as it related to the media, for sure.
All right, Mark, the reason I did that, I'm sitting next to Keith Jonesy. He's annoyed me on this Michael Jordan thing because he makes it – Jordan was a jerk. And what Jonesy's doing is saying, well, that's part of why he was so competitive. It's so great. You don't have to be that way. What Mark just said, Jonesy, is that Dr. J was a very cordial, nice man who was also an intense competitor, and he didn't lie about stuff and do all that stuff.
100%.
Have you been put in your place now?
No, I have not.
I have a better example after Mark is off that will help put Jonesy in his place.
All right, because Mark, see, the whole thing, you watched The Last Dance, didn't you, Mark?
Oh, of course.
Well, you didn't need to be that way, right? There was no reason. Dr. J was a hero in his own right, didn't act that way. You don't have to be that way. That's what I'm trying to say.
So let me say this about Michael, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to judge him based on my interactions.
Yeah.
First is the halftime reporter and then the play-by-play guy.
Let's get him.
So I work with a producer. No, if anything, what I'm going to tell you that Michael was great. And what he – and, you know, today – even if you want to interview the 12th guy on the team, you have to go through PR folks. There are protocols. There are arrangements that need to be made. You know, Michael Jordan at the old Spectrum, he would come off the floor after taking his shots, and my producer and I were stationed right near the Chicago locker room. We would just grab, hey, Mike, how you doing? He got to know us after a few years, and we would be able to take him and interview him about almost anything we wanted for 5 or 10 minutes before the game. So he was always very, very gracious to us.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard is a plan that blew up right in my face. Right there. All right, so we're going to get, what do we get, one game a night? What are we doing here, Mark? What are we going to be able to see here?
Thanks for asking. So tonight at 7, Saturday at 7 is game 2, and then Sunday is a doubleheader. It starts at 4:30,
nice.
Games 3 and 4. It's going to be really interesting, I think, for people to tune in. First of all, you'll see games at the old Spectrum. They will be games 1 and 2.
Nice.
And I have to tell you what, Ange, after watching these games, I'm remembering now how much different this basketball was. And a lot of it had to do with the three-point shot. And the irony is this was already the fourth year that the NBA had taken the three-point shot from the ABA, but nobody even used it. So you're going to see a three-point line, and you're going to see all the action within 15 to 18 feet from the hoop. Andrew Toney getting the ball, and he was the team's best three-point shooter that year, albeit faint praise, and just trying to, you know, it's old-school basketball where, hey, if I have a 20-footer, but I can get an 18-footer or a 16-footer, I'm going to do it. It's really interesting and fascinating.
All right, last thing, Mark. I heard a rumor that you will soon be rooming with Donald Duck at Disney World when they restart the NBA season. Do you know, first of all, do you have any sense for when this is going to be? And will you have to move to Disney World to do the Sixer games?
You know what? I have to say this. I've been to Disney World enough with my kids. I don't think I have to go anymore. But I will say this, Ange. I doubt very much that I would be considered essential in that regard.
Oh.
So whether it's players, team officials, medical personnel, that sort of thing, it's my belief that there'll be a crew down there supplied by the NBA, maybe Turner Sports. They'll be televising. And we most assuredly will be back here, whether it's at the arena or even in our homes, watching games off the monitor, hopefully, and doing the games that way. It's something I've done before. I prefer not to do it.
Right.
But if this is how we have to restart our league for everyone to be safe and bring basketball to people, hopefully we will before too long on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'd be delighted to do it under whatever circumstances present themselves.
And we would be thrilled to watch it. Mark, great to hear your voice. It's been a while. Stay well.
Thank you so much, guys. Stay well,
anytime at all, Mark. Thank you, buddy. Mark Zumoff with something to watch this weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.